And you might like to turn in your Bible to the book of Joshua and chapter 5. And perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we've opened thy word. Spirit of God, here we are again. Your day, help us in the light of tomorrow. If you should tarry and we should live. And our God, we're going to thank you very much. Thank you in Christ's name. Amen. And in our exercise, we were doing a Joshua a little bit. And in chapter 10, we found that Israel, all 12 tribes, were on the same page. And it was a rare time for them, a rare time in the history of Israel. And they had a super duper duper success. Now, having said that, we then went to see, because that's Israel. So then we looked at ourselves. It's our turn on planet Earth, representing the grace of God. So we went to the book of Ephesians properly. And Ephesians has to do with our wonderful relationship to Christ in the light of heaven, and heaven and the light on being on earth. So we have this awesome relationship. Now, Israel had it, and they, for a moment, hang on. And so here we are, and with us we studied, trying to look at the armor of God, chapter 6, because you can't enjoy the heavenly, awesome truth as found in the book of Ephesians. You're seated in heavenly places, etc. You'll never enjoy that unless God helps us, because our old nature is against it. The world system is against it. So therefore, the armor of God is necessary to protect us and to be able to enjoy on earth. We're in hostile territory, so we need to enjoy it. But how can we enjoy in the midst of enemy territory, in the midst of war and rumors of war and everything else? How do we do that? Well, that's why you need the armor on. So, to walk in the light as he is in the light. So then, having done that a little bit, we come back to Joshua. And since it was a bit of time since we were there, so therefore, we went and reminded ourselves what made Joshua be so successful at that time. Why was Israel so successful? And that's what we spent a little time on in the first part of Joshua, etc. Now, so here we are in chapter 5, just to remind ourselves, and we share together, among other things that we looked at in chapter 5, was circumcision. And remember now, circumcision, Genesis chapter 17, circumcision has to do with being signed up. God said the sign of circumcision to Abraham lines up. God said, are you going to go along with me and sign a contract to stay with me? And I want you to be part of the team. So Abraham circumcised, and all the Jew, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, etc. They're all circumcised. In Egypt, they're circumcised. And when they come out of Egypt, they're circumcised. And when they go over to Mount Sinai, Mount Sinai is the tabernacle's finished. Now what? Now you're going to go 11 days journey north to Kadesh Barnea, and you're going to go and take the land. And they were supposed to do that. The trouble is, they didn't believe. Now, so in Numbers in chapter 9, they did have circumcision. But once they turned their back on God and did not in Numbers 13, 14, they didn't believe. And because God told them to take the land and they didn't believe, God said, you're going to spend 38 more years in the wilderness. And they were never circumcised. No, not then. They're out of sync with God. They aren't in tune. He just has them. He watches them as the shepherd keeps the sheep. So, and here they are in the land. Now, but when they cross the Jordan, they need to sign up. All those men that weren't circumcised, that were born, 600,000 plus of them in those years, all of those men had to be circumcised. They had to be what? To sign up. To sign up in God's wonderful plan for Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God has a wonderful plan for Israel to take the land, to be the land, to be in the land for God's glory and honor. Therefore, they're circumcised. And the circumcision was there, and it was cut. And that means you signed up. You think of a military thing in the war or something. And we go down to the recruiting office in our regular clothes, and we get on the recruiting office, and we go in and we sign up to go in the army, and we sign up to go in the army, and everything's there, and we're there. So, and since we signed up, and we get in the bus or whatever it is, and go to boot camp. When we go to boot camp, what do they do? Well, they say, welcome in boot camp. And then they go and do everything. What? You have to get rid of all your clothes. You have a new uniform. You have to have what? You're going to be dressed. You're going to get dressed. And when you go to bed, you say, well, I'll sleep in till 9. You'll sleep in till 5 and get out of bed. And everything changes. Why did it change? Because you're in the army now. That's what you're in. So Israel lined up with God to be in God's wonderful will to take the land. That doesn't mean they were all saved. Because we then went and made sure we understood that circumcision of the skin is one thing to say you're signed up, got the uniform. You need to have a circumcision of your heart to be part of the army and have a mind and heart with all one mind and one heart to go to battle. That requires the heart. If you're going to really be in it. Now, and they're going to have that for a moment. Now, having said that little bit, and to see that for us each time here, hold your finger here, and remember now in Joshua chapter 5, you remember we did all that in circumcision and sliding down in verse 8. And it came to pass when they had done circumcision, all the people that abode in their places in the camp till they were whole and healed. Now, hold your finger here. Each to go over. Where is our part, which we did? Over to the book of Philippians, among all kinds of places. The book of Philippians, and in chapter 3. And you recall Philippians in chapter 3. And you know from chapter 5, etc., circumcision and uncircumcision does nothing. You need to be a new creation. Let me finish Philippians. Philippians chapter 3, verse 3. Paul, what is the secret of your wonderful, wonderful success? For we are the circumcision which worship God in the spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. God went to the cross and set us apart to be what? Wonderfully, wonderfully saved in a wonderful, wonderful way, to enjoy God's saving grace from the heart. And you know from Deuteronomy 30, etc., God said that. It's one thing to be circumcised of the skin, but you need to be circumcised in your heart. And God will take care of it when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Physical circumcision, you can do that, but you can't circumcise your heart. No one can circumcise your heart. In fact, no one can get to you because your heart, you are living in this body. No matter what you do, open it up, do whatever you want, you're living in it. I could not find you in this body. God, you have a spiritual, wonderful relationship in your person that lives in this body to God, and only God can circumcise your heart. That's what he did when he died on Calvary's cross. He did a wonderful thing in saving you. Now, so circumcision. So we have that. And God makes us new creatures in Christ. In fact, on your way back, just stop by in the book of Galatians and in chapter 6. On your way back, chapter 6, please, in picking up verse 15, context, thinking of the context. Chapter 15. Did you get to chapter 15? Chapter 15? Everyone get to 15. I'll wait. Chapter 6, verse 15. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but you need to be a new creature in Christ Jesus. That's the same word as you have in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. All things are passed away. Everything has become new. Same word. God does a wonderful thing in a new relationship. They cross the Jordan. No more the other. Now, having said that, then go back, if you can, over to Joshua chapter 5. And in Joshua chapter 5, picking up, if I may, and you recall. And what did he do? What did this do, among other things? Chapter 5, picking up, please, in verse 9. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off you. Wherefore, the name of the place is called Gilgal unto this day. The word Gilgal, a wheel, rolling. To roll a wheel. What did you do, God? You rolled away the reproach of Egypt. Israel, there you cross the Jordan. You have a wonderful position, and you're to represent God in a wonderful way. Chapter 4 of Joshua, picking up in verse 23. For the Lord, your God, dried up the waters of the Jordan from before you until you were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were all gone over. Verse 24, that purpose all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, and you guys might know and might fear the Lord your God forever. The whole world, take note. And that's why they had already won. They won when they were crossing the Red Sea. All of the enemy surrendered. And why? And you, like we said, how come it took 40 years before you came into the land? Why did you wait so long? You won. Now, so having said that, he rolled away the reproach of Egypt. And the word reproach, as we looked at it and did it together, all of these things. And as we looked at it, and so the word reproach, just think of a tree and going in hating the tree. And you go and tree with leaves and fruit, and you go and strip the tree of all the leaves, of all the fruit, and you just destroy it. You make it naked. You shame it. You took away, you insulted it. You took away its glory and its beauty. That's what it did. He rolled away the reproach of Egypt. What was Egypt doing? Well, they were slaves for 430 years. That's what they were. And to boot, when they went, they were full of idolatry when they were in the land. And you remember in the land of, when they're in the wilderness, I should say, in the wilderness, when you read page after page of God's recorded history, when you read page after page, what do you read? They never, in 40 years, they never were looking to cross the Jordan. Why weren't you looking to where you were going? No, the only thing they did is look to go back to Egypt. They never looked to go forward. They never got it in their head. And God said, then he just left them, took care of them as a shepherd, and gave them miraculous, wondrous life for 40 years, as it were. Now, he rolled away the reproach, and here's Israel with the golden calf in the wilderness, et cetera, et cetera. And all the things they did that they shouldn't have done. And we shared together in Deuteronomy and then went all the way through a little bit last time to what? See, God said, if you don't honor me, I will make you an astonishment. I'll make you a hissing. I'll make you a reproach in all the world. Anti-Semitism, I'll make you that. You honor me. If you don't honor me, I'll shame you. I'll make you a reproach, the same word. I'll make you that. So Israel, at this point, we're crossing the Jordan. God, no more. You're going to see Israel as the having a God that gives them awesome power, awesome privilege, and they have it, and they are supposed to enjoy it now. They're on the other side of the Jordan, and they're supposed to enjoy that in a most wonderful way. He rolled away the reproach. When God saved you and me, what did he do? He went, and in all kinds of ways to do this. What he did for us. We're sinners saved by grace. We're sinners, that's nice. And we're sanctified, set apart for God's wonderful purpose. Now what else, God? And by the way, you're called saints. You're saints. Set apart ones. Think of 1 Corinthians in chapter 1, verse 2. To the saints, not to the sinners, to the saints. Separated ones, they're mine. They're mine. They're mine. Now, so here's the approach. And God in his grace did a wonderful thing in saving them. And he, when it came to the circumcision, he took care of that. And the shame of Israel. Remember, the people in the Philistines, et cetera, they're not afraid of Israel. They're afraid of their God. God, not Israel. God's their problem. The God who opened the Red Sea. The God who had them cross the Jordan. That God. There's no way our God of Dagon or any other God that we have can compete with God. They were afraid of God. Israel is now what? To line up, and God will bless them and give them the covering of what? They're God's people in God's place for God's glory in God's way. That's what they are. And they're to enjoy it We're believers. We're saved. We're supposed to be saintly. We're supposed to enjoy God's awesome grace, as we did this morning. It's the world. It's a shame. The world hates. It hates. That's why it's so hard to love. The world hates us. The old flesh, the old nature hates it, hates God. So, boy, it's hard. That's right. But that's why you reckon yourself, Romans 6:11, reckon yourself dead and alive to God. You aren't dead. No, you just don't pay attention. The world sees you one way and hates you. Light, it hates light. But God sees you another way as children of light. Ah, that's different. God sees you as his children. He's the God of light. In him is no darkness at all. So we're children of light. It's an honorable position. Angels know the difference, the good guys and the bad guys. The world doesn't. And the devil doesn't want anyone to know that light is superior, and where a light is, darkness cannot exist. You turn the light on, all the darkness goes instantly. How do you get rid of the darkness when you go home? Throw the switch. Throw the switch. And the light comes on. What happens to the darkness? It's all gone. All gone. Now, having said that little bit, in Joshua in chapter 5, keeping that in mind, again, God's awesome thing and God does. And by the way, remember in Hebrews, you don't have to turn there, Hebrews 13, etc. What are we supposed to be doing? What I just said, I didn't. Hebrews 13. We're to go to him crucified in Jerusalem? No. He's crucified outside the city. The city doesn't want anything to do with crucifying him. Crucify him outside. Outside. And what are we supposed to do? Hebrews, we'll read it. It'll keep you awake. Over, if you can, Hebrews 13. We did it last time. And it's still there. In Hebrews chapter 13, picking up, if I may. May I go to verse 12? Hebrews 13, 12. Wherefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify, set apart the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. They hate God, the light. They Jesus, who's Jesus, you know, and all the things they do to make him everything but what he is, who he is, God. So therefore, you're bearing what? So when we get saved, we come out and the world treats us. The city doesn't want us. The world doesn't want us. We have to go to him outside the gate, and that's where we are. It's a reproach, a reproach. Now, back over, if I can, to Joshua. And back over to Joshua, and in chapter 5. And you'll remember, in chapter 5, picking up, if I may. And they kept the Passover, which they did, and I mentioned that, in chapter 5, and in verse 10, and the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at an evening at 6 o'clock in the evening. That day starts for them, in the plain of Jericho. And they did eat of the old corn of the land on the morrow, after the Passover. Now remember, after the Passover, Leviticus 23, you have the 7 days of unleavened bread. And the first day is a holy day, holy day. And after that, it's so you eat unleavened bread. Now, So it says we have no way. It does not tell us that they did 7 days. We don't know that. But normally you would do 7 days. And in the process, the parched corn would be regular corn, but then you cook it, bake it. You what do? You leaven it. You leaven it. You make it blanched corn. So it's like unleavened bread, like unleavened bread. Now, so, and you eat of that bread. So now it's what they do. And they ate of the unleavened bread. And, verse 12, and the manna ceased at the moment on the morrow after they had eaten of the old corn. Now remember now, they're at harvest time. The Jordan River was overflowing when they crossed it. It wasn't just the regular Jordan River. Be like big river overflowing. That's when they crossed the river. And it's harvest time. Harvest time. So here we are. Here's us 2 million people, 2.5 million people. And here we are on the other side of the Jordan. Where do you go to, what grocery store do you go to get food? God, they had. So what did they do? God gave them manna, and then after Passover, no more manna. What are you going to do? Well, here's the harvest time of barley. Here's all their storage. They have all the food. Everyone has left. They all evacuated when they crossed the Jordan. So the people that lived there and the soldiers and everyone left. We don't know where they went. And so what do? All Israel helps themselves to the water in the wells, the food. The field is rich with barley and everything. And they have it, the corn. They have it all. And they had the food. So they were able to eat. For the first time, they never had it for 430 years in Egypt. They lived on a slave's diet, as you know. They did not have it for 40 years in the wilderness. So they have grown up never having this, never having it, never having any grapes, never having any of it. That's what they are. It's the first time that they have it. The corn, the field, you pick the corn, ordinary corn, ordinary everything. That's what you had. That's what you ate. So therefore, they did eat of the fruit of the land, the end of verse 12, in the land of Canaan that year. And God did a wonderful, wonderful thing with them and for them. In his saving grace, he did it. So here they are in all of God's glory, doing what he does in his most wonderful way to help them and to help them go and to see. So as to grow, they need to learn. They need to learn. Now remember, they're Jews under the law, so they have to go and they're going to practice like Leviticus 10 and Leviticus 11, to eat certain things, don't eat certain things, don't wear certain things, don't do certain things. What's it for? There's nothing wrong. It's to help them what? To understand, to make a difference, between a rat and a calf, a cow. Make a difference. But they're both animals, true. I want you to learn to make differences. Why? So you know the difference between God. He said, you know the difference. I am wholly different than all of you. I want you to know and learn the difference between the holy and unholy, between the clean and unclean. I want you to learn it. You have to get educated. Peter comes along in chapter 10 of Acts, and he comes down, and the law has been answered. Christ died on the cross to answer the law and fulfill the law. So there's no need to do that anymore. Everything's become common. common, edible, whatever you're going to do. So that's what you do. So having said that little bit, they were to learn. They were to learn and understand God's holy, wonderful person in a wonderful way. And what are they going to do now in the land? They're going to go and be ordinary people. But we've never been ordinary people. We've been slaves, an extraordinary 40 years in the wilderness. We never had anything like this. So what are we going to do? God said, now you're going to become ordinary. I want you to be able to what? Genesis 1:31. God, everything God made was very good. God made apple trees and bananas and animals ultimately and all of these things. It's all very good. I gave you taste buds and the tongue to enjoy my produce. I've given you a wonderful way to enjoy your human existence in eating. I've done it. That's what I did. There's sin. Remember Mark chapter 7. It isn't what goes in your mouth. That is not ever going to cause you to be a sinner. The problem is Mark chapter 8, Mark chapter 7. It's what comes out of your old nature. That's your problem. Not what goes in. So God made everything for us humans to enjoy. And we can do it all over the world. God gives, provides. And apart from humans doing what they do, the way they do it, God provides for them. And God does a wonderful thing. He made it for us. But that's physical life. You need spiritual life. And God said what? The humans. The humans are there. They need to be saved. I'm not going to do like the wilderness. I want them to know what? I made all of the normal cows and beets and carrots and everything else. I made all of that for you, saved and unsaved. I made it for you. And that's ordinary. And that's how you live. Everyone lives, saved and unsaved. You live by going to the grocery store and doing what you do. That's how we all live. And that's how we have all the problems with being born of Adam and all the genetic things and everything that come with us just being alive on planet Earth, sickness, disease, and everything. We all go, oh, we've got it. We sure do. But, so what are we on, John? I can't have you like angels. I could have angels, but I can't have you like angels. If you were like angels, like in Sodom and Gomorrah, the Sodom people could look at them in Sodom and Gomorrah and know that they're different. They're not like us. So there's no good, no gospel, not from you guys, because you aren't even like us, Mr. Angel. But here's Israel in the land, and they're to be ordinary. Ordinary, just like everybody else in the land. Like all of them, they're going to be ordinary. But they're extraordinary. They understand God created food and animals and everything. That's how we live. Eat and being eaten. That's how it is. So, that's how it is. So, and God, you've done that. That's what. Now, what are we going to be? We're going to be saints in the midst of sinners. And we're going to show the sinners that we have the same, we can get the same flu, have the same pain, need the same pill. But we have a difference. We have God to help us and keep us. He's our shepherd. He's the care. He takes care of us, like David of old, the Lord. And you know all these things in the process. Psalm 23. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, not when I walk through the mountains. What did the Lord say to the people? They went up, Matthew 17, and they went up to Mount, and Elijah and Moses met Peter, James, and John. They did that. That's right. They did that. And they did. And they, Peter, James, and John said, let's stay here. This is pretty neat. Let's stay here. And God said, and God took them away just like that. And Moses and Elijah were all gone. And all you have is Jesus. And then he says, back down to the valley. That's where you go. I didn't mean you to live in the mountain. I want you to live down in the valley of death and darkness and be a light in the darkness. We don't need a lighthouse in our parking lot. You do need a lighthouse out in the ocean in different places, but you don't need it in the parking lot. God has made us to be lights in the darkness and in the valley, not on the mountain. Down in the muck and mire, that's where you're to be. You're going to be a reproach, but be of good cheer. You're going to be ordinary, and you're going to have every problem like they do. But you're going to be different. You're going to have a wonderful comforter. You have a wonderful, God's wonderful plan for your life. God has take your life and give you a wonderful enjoyment of just being in the midst of the bad stuff and enjoy God's wonderful goodness, God's wonderful grace in the midst of it all. And when everything goes lousy, but God, you're good. And everything's bad, bad and not good, but God, thank you for being my life. You, my life. No disease, no disappointment, no depression, no discouragement. No. Because my life is hid in your awesome person. And therefore, God, I am more than a conqueror. I'm able to be a sheep to the slaughter, as to be slaughtered. But in the midst of being slaughtered, God, you can't touch me. You can't touch our relationship to God. You can't touch it. It's mine. It's yours. And that makes you more than a conqueror. That the armor of God protects you. And Israel is able to go in a marvelous way. And during chapter 10, we'll do it. We'll be coming up here just to do it again, to see it. God's wonderful one. They just marched. They did extraordinary miles and miles of battle in the same day. Fatigued, rocks, hills, did them. They did them. They were extraordinary. And they didn't stop for lunch, etc. God did it. And they wouldn't. And they didn't lose any men. That's awesome. That's awesome. God, you never said they. How many men did we lose? You never say. You never tell us, because I don't know that you did. Because God was in it. That's awesome. So in the thick and mid, all of it all of the things can happen to us. Except you can't touch my life, our life. You can't touch our love, that's God. And you can't touch our wonderful, wonderful victory. We're winners. We're winners. So here we are. We're ordinary people. But you know, we have extraordinary resource. And we're just ordinary people. But God, we already have everything we need. So there's nothing you need to do, God, to make us more successful. We already are successful. We're already winners. We're already there. Aren't you? Why are you a winner? Because he already won. He's finished. Finished. And we're to what? We're to go and be more than conquerors. We're to march through history, march down the street, go to work, go to school, and take your pills. And do it all. You're a winner. You say, I'm dying. That's true. I understand. And Gladys and all of that. Sometime you get sick. I know if I ever got sick like that. I don't want to have. Jeanette wants to sit down. Let's have a chit-chat. Let's play a game of Monopoly. I don't want to play a game of Monopoly. I'm sick. I don't want to see anybody, you know, et cetera. You got that. So we all have to go through that. Sure, we do. But, wonderful truth, and it came to pass, and it disappeared, and we're all better. We're all better. Whatever the problem was last week, it's gone. Everything disappears. You're moving forward. Blessed hope for God to take us, and that hope brings us down the corridor of time, and thus, God, here we are. Israel, boy, they're geared up to be a winner. Oh, they're going to lose it, but boy, they're geared up at the moment to win. Like the team going out for football or something. And you have all the players all over the place. But boy, what do they need to do? They all need to be in the same page and go out in that field. And no man, everyone is on the play, this job, do the job, everything. Take your position. Do what you're supposed to do. We're going to go and play the game as a team. That's what we're doing. God help us. Anyway, I'm chit-chatting. Thank you. Hope you got a little bit. Our Father and God, we thank you for your word. Thank you for your grace. Thank you, God, for history. Thank you for your word to help us know yesterday that we might understand today. And our God will thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen.